Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Today's scripture is Luke 1, verse 39 through 55. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you, young among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken by her, but to the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. The Holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever."
Amen. Thank you, Julie. I have been listening to a lot of Christmas music. Have you? I'm loving Spotify and Amazon Music, where I can get just this endless supply of Christmas music. They're all different types. And I tend, like many of you, I'm sure, to get songs stuck in my head. You know, you hear them and you're singing them over and over again. Songs like, "I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas." Like, why does that one stick in my head? That great theological song. And I find myself humming or singing them anywhere and everywhere. And I'm like, what am I doing? But as I've been preparing for worship today, there's been another song, not a Christmas song, but another song that I've caught myself singing over and over again. And it's a song that I first learned when I was in United Methodist Youth Group. At that time, there were monthly youth concerts in our district, and it was a song that was an anthem of sorts for those events. We'd sing it at every gathering with heart and with soul and with gusto, and I think it's on page 2164 of The Faith We Sing, which is the little, smaller, black songbook that's in your pews. And the words are really simple, and Ron knows I'm going to ask him to sing this in a minute. I know. Sanctuary. The words are simple. They go like this. "Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you." And I loved that song. Can we sing it? Okay. I'm not a good singer, so Ron's going to lead us. "Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you." Well done. You're all in the choir now.
Yes.
But I loved that song. I looked forward to singing it every month at those concerts. It meant something to me, and I'd get a little misty-eyed every time we sang it. Although looking back, I can say that I don't think I entirely understood it, what it meant, what it was asking or saying, but still, it moved me. It really moved me. I think that song came back to me this week because of our scripture passage for today and the themes that it lifts up. In today's reading, we bear witness to this tender yet powerful interaction between Elizabeth and Mary. Mary, after receiving the news from the angel Gabriel that she was pregnant and would bear a child, went to stay with her cousin Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth, we might remember, was married to Zechariah. Elizabeth, very much the senior to Mary, was also pregnant with John, the future John the Baptist. It was Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, who was struck mute when he doubted the angel who announced that he and Elizabeth would have a baby. Zechariah was a priest, and scripture tells us that he and Elizabeth were very righteous before God, living blamelessly. Now, we don't know what went through Mary's mind when she decided to go to Elizabeth's house upon realizing that she was an unwed pregnant teenager, reportedly pregnant with the Son of the Most High. We don't know their history or the nature of their relationship. But if I found myself to be a pregnant teenager in a society that dealt extremely harshly with folks in such circumstances, I'm not sure the first relative I'd go to would be the one who was considered righteous. Would you? But Mary did, perhaps based on her relationship with Elizabeth, perhaps encouraged by the Holy Spirit. And Mary found exactly what she needed in Elizabeth's presence. In fact, the child in Elizabeth's womb jumped for joy even as Mary approached. Remember how I said that John the Baptist was the patron saint of spiritual joy? That's the reason why. He jumped for joy in his mother's womb, even though Jesus was just coming near through Mary. And then Elizabeth offered those wonderful words of blessing, words that you might recognize as part of the rosary in Catholic tradition. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And it was after Mary found safe haven, this place of sanctuary with Elizabeth, that Mary went on to put into words what we now call the Magnificat, or Mary's song. She was a girl, a child, really, in a precarious situation, in an unforgiving culture and time and place. Yet clearly and confidently, these powerful words poured forth from her as she proclaimed God's divine intent and movement in the world and claimed her place, her part in it, her part as Theotokos in Greek, or God-bearer in English, becoming with her flesh and blood and heart and soul and spirit a safe haven, a place of sanctuary for the divine itself. Could she have done that so clearly, so confidently, had she not found a safe haven, found this precious sanctuary in and with Elizabeth? We don't really know. But perhaps it made all the difference in the world. And this passage, when we think about it in terms of safe haven and sanctuary, invites us to think about the meaning of those concepts in our own lives as well. What is sanctuary? I think of it as safety, as shelter. Are there other words that you would add to when you think about sanctuary? I heard holiness. I heard home. Yes, holiness, home. Quiet, peace, safety, retreat, peace. Yeah, all of these things are part of what sanctuary is. And then who or what needs sanctuary? On a macro level, a systems level, I think of groups of people, those fleeing civil unrest, those whose human rights are being violated, those attempting to escape the life-threatening impact of climate change. And on a micro level, on a person-to-person level, I have to wonder, who doesn't need sanctuary, at least at some time or place in their lives? Don't we all? Haven't we all? In our sorrow, in our woundedness, in our grief, in our fear, I invite you to think for just a few minutes about a person or people who have been sanctuary for you in your life. I can think of several people. I think of Flossie and Roger, along with my church family in general in my childhood and youth. I think of Ed, our peer counselor group supervisor in my college days. I think of a whole group of friends in seminary who literally packed up my apartment and in a single day moved me from a broken place to a healing place when I wasn't able to do it for myself. Who has loved and protected and supported you? Who has been sanctuary for you? Bring their countenance to mind and heart. Hold on to that thread of your story. Don't let it go. It's precious. It's a thread that perhaps made all the difference in the world to what you were able to clearly and confidently claim for your own life and who you went on to become in the days and weeks and years that came after. And when we remember those stories of sanctuary, Mary's story, our own stories, other stories, we might become mindful that our places of sanctuary are in some ways temporary. They are essential, but not permanent. They serve a holy restorative purpose, and then we are meant to either literally or figuratively move away from or out from them. Perhaps they become touchstones, people or places or communities to whom we can return again and again, maybe even every day or every week. But we are not intended to seek safe haven, hunker down, and stay put in those places of sanctuary forever. Can you imagine how different the Christmas story would have been if Mary, finding safety and reassurance in that caring home in the hill country, had become a recluse, just decided to shelter in place and stay put? No, Mary sought out the safe haven she needed at that critical time. She stayed for 3 months, a good long time, and then her journey continued, fueled by the words and images and hope contained in Mary's song. Her journey took her from Nazareth to Bethlehem and all the way to Jerusalem. She didn't hide. She didn't hunker down. She proclaimed God's divine intent and movement in the world and claimed her unique place, her part in it. And in doing so, she then became a safe haven, sanctuary for so many more. Sandy Dolby, friend of this congregation, wrote a wonderful article in last Sunday's paper called There's Something About Mary, Mother of God. And one of the things she lifted up is how even now, thousands of years later, so many find solace, shelter, and encouragement, sanctuary, if you will, in Mary's presence and her story. As those who have also known places and times of sanctuary, we too are called to become sanctuary for others. Having received this holy gift, we are called, we are compelled to extend it to others. Isn't it a really remarkable coincidence that we are moving back into our sanctuary on the very Sunday when we are talking about sanctuary? It's kind of amazing. How does that work out? Although in our Wednesday study group, we have talked on several occasions about coincidences, saying that perhaps they really aren't coincidences at all, that perhaps they are more God incidences. And I think there's a lot to that. Now, the reality is, since coming to PBUMC, I have spent very few Sundays in this sanctuary because of the pandemic. Most Sundays, I've been at home after pre-recording, or outside in the courtyard, or in the social hall. But for many of you, this place, this space, is more than a physical sanctuary, a building. Its sights and sounds and smells hold powerful reminders of emotional and spiritual sanctuary. You enter the room and hear, experience, feel deep echoes of love and joy, laughter and friendship, acceptance and belonging. When we had people coming in to film greetings during the heart of the pandemic, I could see it almost every time one of you walked into this space after having been gone for so long. Even though it was kind of a mess with all of our recording stuff, wires and microphones and stands everywhere, there was usually a moment when you would look around with a wistfulness and a longing, as if you were hearing, experiencing, feeling the echoes that for you resonate in this sacred space. It is good to be back here. It is good to be back in this sacred space. Whether you have spent many Sundays in this place or whether this is your first Sunday here, I want you to know that this is a place of sanctuary for you, for each one of us. That is who PBUMC is. That is part of what we are all about. And not only is this a place of sanctuary for all, but this is a place where we are, by the power of God's love and grace, being shaped, always being shaped, to become sanctuary for others as well. I think I have a little better sense now of what that song from my youth group days meant. Perhaps being a sanctuary for God has a lot to do with being a sanctuary for others, the beloved people of God. But I still can't say that I entirely understand it. It's challenging stuff. Maybe it's just something we live into. And I'm so glad to be living into it with you. I want us to sing it one more time. I didn't prepare Ron at all. But this time, let's sing it a little bit differently. Let's sing it in the plural. So it'll be, Lord, prepare us to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, we'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving,
will be a living.
I'll be a living sanctuary.
So, amen. Gracious and loving God, we gather in the light of your love on this fourth Sunday in Advent, mindful of Christmas as it quickly approaches. Some of us are ready and prepared. Others of us are thoroughly not. Some of us are giddy with joy, grateful to be able to celebrate with fewer restrictions this year than last. Others of us are barely getting through these days, carrying heavy burdens of grief or pain or sadness. And ready or not, happy or disheartened, you will come. Not because we have taken all the appropriate steps, or done all the right things, or completed all the important tasks, but simply because you love us. Thank you. We lift up those who are on our minds and in our hearts and ask for your Spirit to be with them in ways that bring comfort and peace. We pray for those who are navigating the difficult days of illness and diagnosis, either their own or that of a family member or friend. We lift up those who are grieving, either the sudden death of one too young or the expected loss of one who is older, both of which bring tears and shock and heartache. We pray for those who are doing the hard work of healing in body or in spirit. We pray for those recovering from disaster, remembering all those affected by the recent tornadoes in the Midwest and South and other natural disasters around the world. We pray for those who have needed and sought sanctuary in literal or figurative ways and who have not found it. Sustain their hope. Gather them into the people and places where they can find safe haven and a true sense of home. Grateful for those people and places who have been sanctuary for us, continue to shape us as those who offer sanctuary, shelter, encouragement, unconditional love for others. Help us to seek safe havens in our own times of need, trusting that we are not meant to travel this life's journey alone. Teach us, show us, guide us into deeper understanding and more authentic living of what it means to be sanctuary for you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.